this past week has definitely has been eye-opening, to say the least. Especially coming home from Canada, like you mentioned earlier. I've been playing up there for the past 3 years, and you don't hear about police brutality like that, and I don't walk around Canada with the same fear. In the past week, you know, things have changed even within my household. Under my parents' orders, as a professional athlete, I'm not even allowed to be at the local park, especially anytime that it's dark. And my parents have even been coming to work out with me to supervise me, things like that. So it's definitely been eye-opening to just continue to see African-American lives being devalued. It hurts.
That is the voice of Justin Renfro. He is an offensive tackle with Edmonton's CFL franchise. He is a former NFLer, born in Philadelphia, went to the University of Miami, played for a number of NFL teams, and is now, like I said, in Edmonton. Just read you a couple of tweets of his, and I'll date them as well so you have context. May the 27th, so this is last week. "My mom now drives behind me on my morning run. She said it's the only way she feels safe letting me run in my neighborhood. This is America." And then on May the 30th, 3 days later, "Morning runs have now turned into backyard laps. Never as a pro athlete did I think I would have my parents worried about me running at the local park at 5:30 a.m. because it's slightly dark out. The sad part is local police have messed with me and pulled a gun until they find out I played." And I'm sure Justin is referring to "I played football." And we are pleased to have him join us on Leadoff this morning. Justin, thank you so much for your time today. Can you start by giving us a sense of what you're experiencing on a day-in, day-out basis? Not just in Philadelphia, but also in your own heart and your own mind as some significant challenges that have long existed are now back and very appropriately and importantly in the forefront.
Yes. I guess when you referred to the first tweet, and I guess, you know, after hearing about the death of a young African-American man while just running in his neighborhood, and really, I think the thing that shook me and really bothered my mom is literally, like, that's what I go do literally every day because of COVID. I go leave our house and run around this neighborhood, and that could easily be me. And I think she really saw that, especially because I've been trying to do some workout videos and inspire people to work out. And, like, she pointed out, she's like, "I have videos of you running like that. You just insert a car and that's you." And so I think that kind of registers with you when your parents start fearing for your life. And, you know, I have a mom who, since the 10th grade, both my parents have let me. Since the 10th grade, I've been traveling to play basketball, you know, leaving to go to West Virginia every Thursday and travel the country, to now they're scared for me to even leave 5 minutes away. So that, I think that brings everything into a scope. And, you know, I have to be honest, at first I was quite angry, and you could see some other tweets. I even tweeted at our local police department yesterday about, you know, I can't say some of the things I said in the tweet on the air, but, you know, I finally, for the first, after an incident that happened 3 years ago, I finally got a message back to get an investigation yesterday. So, you know, everything comes with its price, and we'll have to pursue that when it comes around.
Justin Renfro, our guest, plays for Edmonton of the CFL, a longtime football player, has had tenure in the NFL as well. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Justin, can you share with us that incident from 3 years ago, number one, and then a two-part question? You're 30 years old. You will turn 31 later this year. And as a white person, I think it's important for me to try to understand what it is like to be conscious of the color of your skin every single day because you're worried that someone else, probably a white person, will have a poor reaction that could put you in danger. How long have you been conscious of that?
That's a big one. I guess I'll start with the back half and about being conscious, and then we can go back to the story. And because that's a two part thing. I would say early childhood. You know, things were kind of steady, but you know, in fourth grade, kind of. Like I tweeted yesterday, in fourth grade, between the Yardley Police Department, and then I also had a kid in my class call me the N-word. Between those two things, my family kind of had to have a talk with me and kind of let me know what the world was going to be. And also because I was starting to grow as well at the time, also what my dad had to talk with me about what the world's going to be for me. And so, you know, as a fourth grader, I didn't understand it. But by the time I was in sixth grade and at the bottom of the pile, I was still playing running back then and getting punched in my, you know, in my male areas, being called the N-word in sixth grade as a running back. I was prepared for it. I didn't get a 15-yard flag because my dad had already talked to me. He had already told me, when you start winning, when they can't stop you, they can only get dirty. And so I had that mental training fourth, fifth, sixth grade. And, you know, and I haven't had incidents really in Canada. Things have been, I had some incidents in college, you know. I was told by a college coach I was going to be hung and things like that. So it's been a systemic thing throughout my life that you just have to deal with. And to be honest, I came to Canada and I actually had forgot about it. You know, after the incident that we'll talk about in a second, I came up and lived in Canada for 3 years and never came home. My parents came and visited me. And so, you know, Canada made me forget. And then I came home for my mother's 60th birthday and COVID happened, so I couldn't leave. And so it's like I got trapped to here to relive it, you know. And that's life. But I guess the event that we're speaking of is I drove through the Yardley Borough. A cop saw me. He didn't tell me right away, but somehow he sped across the – he literally drove throughout the city looking for me to then pull me over saying my car matched all this, matched being stolen, all this. Long story short, they're trying to open my car doors, come up on me, bring in another unit. The other unit's on the other side of the car with the gun pulled, kind of doing the secret look. Because my main thing I knew it was because I have a BMW at 5% tint driving through a white neighborhood. That's why I got pulled over. Was in a stolen car, none of that. And that's driving while black in a nice car, pretty much what goes on. They said there was a whole ordeal about I didn't have insurance, that's why the car was stolen, da da da. When you break it down to the end of the day, I had to, again, talking about the home training, my dad told me, ever in an instance, make sure you letting the cops know exactly what you're doing. So, boom, I had to break it down. I'm reaching to the glove box to get my info. And until I went on CBC yesterday, I never even thought about it myself this way, but if I didn't have that training from my dad and four times announced to them with my hands up that I'm reaching to my pocket to get my phone to call Geico to show you you're lying, I could not be here right now. How many times do we hear about somebody reaching for their phone and they shoot them? And then you on the ground laid out and you were just reaching for a phone. Not until yesterday did I even really think about that. And so that gave me a big realization yesterday, but that's the long and the short of things. I don't want to hold up too much at the time.
Justin Renfro, our guest, plays for Edmonton of the CFL, longtime NFLer. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. As you live those experiences, Justin, as you're in your car,
yeah,
wondering what will happen when you reach into your pocket to pull out your cell phone or to pull out your driver's license, what does that feel like? What are you feeling in that moment?
I know as soon as I got pulled over, I was just like, you know, you go, I hope this isn't this isn't a stop, because honestly, I knew I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wasn't driving fast. So, you already know you're pulled over for no reason, but you're just like, let me just get out of this. And then as soon as the cop starts walking up and he's trying to open my trunk, he's trying to open my back door without even talking to me, without even saying anything, you're like, you already know. Well, excuse my language, but that's literally how you think, because you know that it's like, okay, I got this guy now. And, you know, it's that type of officer, not here to just make a stop and tell me what's going on. He is ready to mess with me. And so once that comes in, you go in defense mode. I have two cell phones because of Canada and U.S. I put one cell phone up to start recording, making sure you say everything you're going to do, and you basically come into life preservation mode. You know, how am I going to stay here? And that's all you can think about, because to be honest, all my interactions, everything, you know, with the police most of the time in the U.S. is something bad. And that's just how it is.
When you read quotes from Tiger Woods talking about how he's just making everything that's going on right now about law enforcement, do you not think this is, and obviously the experiences you have, you've just told us about and how terrible they are, is this not something bigger where it's, I don't want to make it political, but people of power or, people that the leaders of the countries, does it not start there?
I think it starts at the fundamental stages of when you're growing up. I mean, when you're a leader, when you become a leader from growing up and you only get taught to act this way, you learn this behavior. You're not born with this behavior, because if you were born with this behavior, everybody in Canada would be running around doing this. It's a learned thing. It's a learned behavior in the United States. It's a way people act down here. Mm-hmm. And it's sad to say, I've lived both lives, and it's a reason I lived in Canada for 3 years. And so, you know, and that's the thing, though, I've been trying to get across to people, because of living in Canada and meeting people, you know, and like I said earlier, I've been really angry, and I just wanted to do something and ready to lash out at people. But then I talked to a good friend of mine, the artist, the Sober Junkie, and I talked to Mike, and he has a song talking about hope and praying for change. And I've really been listening to that song a lot to calm me down. And when you start listening to the words, and he's talking about people need to start learning about each other, that's really what it's about. And I feel like that's what's helped me in life. I came to Canada and started learning about people and meeting all types of different people. My closest mentor and actually a close friend now is a retired cop from New Jersey. And I mean, Stan has been a big mentor to me and helped me greatly. And while I've been up in Canada, he's moved to Canada. And so that's been a bond, two East Coast U.S. guys up in Canada. And that's something that bond I could never replace. And then knowing he's a retired U.S. cop, that's one of my friends. And that's why I try to keep this positive message. You know, Officer Greg Amy in the Calgary Police Service, we coached youth football together. Jeremy Pierce in Vancouver, we did Special Olympics, Boys and Girls Club, Big Brothers. He supported all the fundraisers I did to donate money to the food bank and the Boys and Girls Club. All the work with the homeless I did, he would try to help any way he could. So it's people like that, officers like that, that just keep me from, I can't be angry, because these are good guys that are my friends that I was texted yesterday, that I talked to yesterday. And so that's where I just trying to get people to understand there's good cops out there, and the good cops need to start stepping up. Like, our country is going to go to be destroyed if the good cops don't start stepping up. And same way I gave the story yesterday on CBC, when as a player, if you mess up, if one of your teammates says something to you, a guy you've been through training camp with, been in practice with, it sticks with you. And it's like, man, I really let him down. Same way with a police officer. You went into training for 8 months together. Y'all were there. He tells you, bro, we didn't learn that in the academy. You know that. That's going to stick with you. And so that's what I'm trying to get the message out. And I really want officers, I know a lot of officers are sports fans, so I hope they're hearing that, and really start policing each other, and even policing each other across borders. I really think the cops from the north need to start speaking to the cops in the south. And I think it will be a great help for everybody.